Turn in your Bibles in two places, Hebrews chapter 11 and Joshua chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 11 and Joshua chapter 2. Now Hebrews chapter 11, look at verses 30 and 31. Hebrews chapter 11 records, what did I say earlier? I hear some more pages. I said Hebrews 11 and Joshua 2. Did I say that right? Sometimes I do that and I've got you going to Matthew or something. I just need to make sure everybody's in the same deal. So in Hebrews chapter 11, you're dealing with, as some of you know, you're dealing with some Old Testament saints and their faith. It's a testimony to the Hebrews to whom Paul is writing in this book. And one of the people that he points out is Rahab. In verse 30 and 31, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So by faith Rahab, you know, kept from dying when everybody else in Jericho died from perishing, because she received the spies with peace, and it took faith for her to do that. Well, let's go back to Joshua chapter 2 and read the account of what took place that day. Joshua chapter 2. Maybe you haven't done your Bible reading today. Maybe you read a chapter a day. You're going to get it knocked out right now. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the 2 men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. And that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window by which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee, and it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. Today there are such fabulous words of testimony to Rahab's faith in this chapter that we've read. A couple other places that we'll see today, I ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. Father, help us to be able to concentrate our thoughts and our attention on the words of the Bible. Help me, Father, as I preached, to be very responsive to the leadership of your Holy Spirit in my life so that you can use me as a vessel to say to these folks that are gathered here today those things that you once said. Now, Father, we have the notes. We've studied the text. But, Lord, there are things in this sermon today that you once said that aren't in the notes. They're in your mind. They're in your heart. Father, need to come through my mind and mouth to the folks that are here. There are things, Father, that will come to my mind you don't want said. I pray, Father, you'll withhold my tongue from those things, that only those things that you once said to edify your saints will be said, something you once said that might bring a lost soul to Jesus Christ, that would be said. But other than that, Father, we only want those things that bring glory to you, and we ask you to do these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You know, everybody in Jericho died the day the walls fell. Everybody, that is, except for Rahab and those of her family members that were in the house with her when the Jews shouted and began to attack the people that were in that city. And the reason that Rahab was spared is that Rahab believed in the Lord. The Bible says, by faith Rahab perished not. And that took care of her and everybody that was in the house with her. You know, when we read Joshua chapter 2, she was recounting from verse 10 how she said, We've heard what the Lord did. We heard how he dried up the Red Sea. We heard what you did to Sihon. We heard what you did to Og. And when we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. And then this is her conclusion. For the Lord, your God, he's God. In heaven, above, and in earth beneath. Now, she didn't believe that earlier in her day. She wouldn't have known about that God until the testimony started coming out of Egypt, until the testimony started coming out from the other side of the Jordan River that there were people doing something that could have only been done by the Lord God. And that's when she realized that the God of the Amorites that she worshipped, if she ever did, was not the same as the God of Israel that had brought them through that Red Sea and had given them victory over Sihon and Og. You say, well, why should it be such a big deal that this little ragtag group of Jews was able to beat Sihon and Og? The big deal is, they had been slaves for 215 years. Well, they'd been in Egypt for 215 years. They hadn't been slaves for that entire period of time, but for that latter period of time they had been. And these guys had come out and they'd just been eating manna for 40 years. They weren't skilled in war. They were a bunch of nomads just waiting every day for manna to fall out of the sky so they'd get them something to eat and water to come out of a rock so they'd get something to drink. So they look at that situation and they go, there has to be, Rahab did anyway, there has to be something going on with those people. There's something about their God, and she recognized by faith that your God is the God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And so that was the beginning of her faith. And her faith, I'm going to tell you today, is exemplary. You say, what does that mean? It means we ought to learn something from her faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, the harlot Rahab. And using that same phrase, notice from Joshua chapter 2, these things, by faith, the harlot Rahab recognized a divine opportunity. By faith, the harlot Rahab recognized a divine opportunity. So she has heard the testimony. She believes that that is the Lord God. Look at verse 1 again. Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now, you know, you got to be asking yourself the question, how did these two Jews end up in a harlot's house? Really and truly, what was that all about? You know, who initiated this deal, and why would they go to lodge? They didn't spend the night there. They spent a part of that night there. To lodge just means to occupy a place temporarily. It doesn't mean like you had to, you know, stay overnight. And they didn't. We know from verse 2 that what happened is they didn't come in till night. Behold, there came in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. So they got there before dark. And we know that because in verse 5, when Rahab is telling what happened, it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate. So they got there before dark. They had to, because the city is closed up at dark, so they get in there. But it's late in the day. It's late in the day when they get there. Man, news travels fast. They must have had social networking or something, because, boy, everybody in town knew about this thing quick. These guys are going in, the Bible says, secretly, but it was not possible in Jericho to keep that secret. And word got to the king and so forth. So what's happened is, I suppose that the one person in town that knew more about what was going on in town than anybody else was the harlot. She's going to be kind of like the main gossip in town. She's covering all angles. Wasn't that Miss Kitty? Yes. Yeah, she knew what was going on in town, and so did this lady. So when she saw those guys, and let me tell you what, she's going to know everybody in town too. A lot of people in town don't know she knows everybody in town, but she knows everybody in town. She sees these two guys, she knows right away these are not locals. You know what she recognizes is that I have an opportunity. If I get these two guys in here and offer them some protection, they might offer me some protection when these guys come to town. As she recognized that divine opportunity, she had the opportunity to lodge and then hide these two spies and make a deal. That is, I'm going to tell you something, that is good thinking, but knowing that their God is the Lord God, she is thinking, you know what, I can get some divine protection here. I can get some divine protection. Now let me tell you something. I believe she's the one that invited them in. I don't believe they went knocking on her door. The Hebrews, they're not going to go up to that kind of house and say, can we come in? But when the news is spreading in town that these strangers are here and the word has gotten to the king, they're looking for cover and she's looking for a deal. So she brings them into the house. Now let me tell you something. Think about this right now. You come to church today. Most of you that are here, if not all of you, have already trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus Christ is already lodging in your home. But you may be here today and you may not have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior yet. May I tell you something? If you just have a little bit of faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the God in heaven and in the earth, you've got an opportunity to invite Him to lodge in your house today. You have an opportunity to recognize that you, like Rahab, don't have much to offer of your own righteousness. You got to understand, she's kind of not in the upper society. She doesn't have much to offer to God, but God had an awful lot to offer to her. And I just want you to understand that everybody in here today ought to realize we were until we received Jesus Christ in the same case as Rahab the harlot. We didn't have anything to offer to God, but He sure had a lot to offer to us. And all we had to do was give Him a lodging place. People say, whether it's biblical or not, we understand it. Invite Jesus into your heart. Understand what that is. It's basically, I have the faith enough to believe that Jesus Christ is God. Therefore, I have enough faith to believe that when He died on the cross, He died for me. And that if I will receive Him, I will be given His righteousness, and He can take my nasty old sins. I want to make that deal with Him. You know, if you have a little bit of faith today, you got enough faith to recognize a divine opportunity. You have come here on a good day when a message regarding salvation by faith in Jesus Christ has been preached, and you can change the eternal direction and destination of your life in a moment, just like Rahab did. And let me tell you something else. A lot of times we make this very personal, so I've made that very personal to you. But do you realize, getting a little ahead of myself, Rahab's family was affected by her faith? Listen, you today, sitting here, some of us are the first person in our family to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. But as a result of putting our faith in Jesus Christ, others of our family members have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not just talking about saving your own neck. Your whole family could be affected by the decision you make today. And I'm telling you what, by faith, the harlot Rahab recognized a divine opportunity. Do you know when those spies came to town, and the Lord knew, because the Lord knows everything, He knew that Rahab realized and had become to believe that the Lord your God, He is the God? You know something, when those preparation of the heart and man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, as rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. Man's goings are the Lord, how then can man understand his own way? A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I believe the Lord said, you need to go down that street right there. And those men went down that street right there. Rahab saw them and said, boys, you better come in here, because you're going to get in trouble in this town, and I, by the way, need your help. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, the Lord, I believe, Jericho is a big place. Interesting, they end up down there by Hor doorstop, and here's a woman that has enough faith to believe that He's the God. You're in here today, and if you have enough faith to believe that He is God, I do not think it is accidental that you chose this day to be in this church to hear this message. I believe the Lord has brought you our way. And I believe that what you're hearing today, if you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ, will change your life. She recognized a divine opportunity. But that's not all. By faith, the harlot Rahab fearlessly hid the spies. In verse 2, it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab. Man, they knew where they were. They knew where the guys were. You talk about intelligence. Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. Now, what do you suppose would have happened to Rahab if they'd have found out those men were there? Still. Some of you are doing this. Yeah, they'd have killed her. And the woman took the two men and hid them. Well, that was brave. And said, thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. Somebody asked me the other day, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. How is it that Rahab got by with lying and she ends up in the chapter of the heroes of the faith? I didn't think you're supposed to lie. Well, sometimes. You know what? We are blessed in this country. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that we're to pray for those that are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So for us in the United States of America today, you do not have to violate one single law on the books of your country today to have all the faith you have in Jesus Christ. Right now, there's still no conflict. Where she lived, there was a lot of conflict. There was no choice for her but to say what she said because she didn't live in the kind of country you're living in. She could not lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That situation in the Amorites was totally opposed to what God was doing. That's why God said when you go in there, you're going to have to kill them all. For 400 years, the Lord had mercy on those Canaanites and Amorites and Girgashites and Perizzites and Hittites and Hivites and all that lived in there. He had mercy on them and long suffering with them and forbearance, and they had nothing but more and more idolatry. This was the end of the ride. So she ends up there because her faith is in the Lord, not because she lied. She had to do that. But she brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof, and the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords. Fords are the places where you cross the river. So they go into the logical places of crossing to see if they can find him. As soon as they which pursued after them were gone, they shut the gate. So this news, you know, got to the king quickly, and the king got to Rahab's house quickly. And you know something? She devised this scheme to hide them at the risk of her own life. Perilous, perilous. Perilous decision that she made. You know, the thing about it is when you have strong faith, you know what happens? The stronger your faith gets, the less fear you have. I mean, even so much so that you would allow yourself to go into situations that God would call you into, that everybody else would say, this is not a good idea, this is not safe for you. We have missionaries right now serving in parts of the world where they serve at the risk of their own lives. You say, how do they have enough courage to do that? It's simply by the same kind of faith that compelled Rahab to hide those spies. In other words, you don't have to have the kind of personality that would cause you to be that fearless. You don't have to have the kind of moral tenacity that would cause you to be that fearless. You just got to have enough faith in God to say, if this is something that God wants me to do in response to this divine opportunity, I will do it trusting God. And that's what she did. She fearlessly hid the spies. But there's another thing. By faith, the harlot Rahab saved her family members' lives. Look at verse 8. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord, and you remember all this, he's given you the land. We heard how, verse 10, he dried up the water, killed the kings. In verse 11, the Lord your God, he's God in heaven above and heaven beneath. So she's professed why she is getting ready to make this deal. I'm believing God, she said. Verse 12, now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness. She didn't say unto me, did she? She said unto my father's house, and give me a true token. And that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. She did it. You already know the end in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 31 said, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not, this deal she's making with these guys worked. Rahab's faith affected more than just her life. Now you gotta think about something. Put it in context. How popular do you think that Rahab was with the rest of her family members? Yeah, I mean, you know, we're real happy to, oh, hello, Mr. and Mrs. whatever Rahab's last name is. Saw your daughter down at the store the other day. And they're like, we have nothing to do with her. We're so ashamed. And Rahab says, I want you to save my family. I believe if you can save me, you can save my house. Sometimes you find compassion in strange places. I mean, if you think about it, when Jesus Christ went for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, who did he end up going to see? Publicans and harlots. The Pharisees got really upset about it. He said, well, you guys, you've turned a deaf ear and you've blinded your eyes. These at least have faith to believe me. And that was Rahab. Do you remember, well, just turn over there. Keep your finger where you are. Turn over to Mark chapter 2 with me real quick. And understand the significance of what you're seeing here. Mark chapter 2. The decision you have to make about your faith in Christ today, whether you're already saved and God wants you to do something fearlessly, or whether you're not saved yet and He wants you to recognize this as a divine opportunity to get saved, whether you're in either of those cases, listen, what decision you make is going to affect more people than just yourself. Mark chapter 2, amen. Verse 1, again He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that He was in the house. So this is Jesus Christ. He's in a house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and He preached the word unto them. It's so crowded in there, there's SRO, standing room only, and there are people outside. Verse 3, they come unto Him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. So there's four guys that got Him on like a stretcher. The guy has palsy, he can't even walk. And when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where He was. They went up there and took the tile off the roof. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. That's not very easy. Must have been a rough ride for that guy. Watch it, verse 5. When Jesus saw whose faith? Their faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He didn't comment about the faith of the man that had the palsy. He commented on the faith of the guys that were carrying him. When Rahab makes this deal with the spies, she doesn't know whether her family's going to go along with this deal or not, but she's making the deal on their behalf. And you have no idea whether you pursue something as a Christian fearlessly by faith and that affects your family, or you make a decision to receive Jesus Christ today and that has an effect on your family. She believed the Lord would save those family members. Your faith in the Lord should be effectual toward your family. What happened when Paul was in Philippi? Paul and Silas were in jail. They were singing. They were praying. And suddenly there's an earthquake in the middle of the night. And the earthquake is so violent that the doors of the prison are open. The warden of the prison lives there next to the prison. That's just like it was in Beeville. The sheriff lived at the jail. He's living there, so the earthquake, he gets up and he noticed the prison doors are open, and it is his responsibility to make sure that every prisoner in that prison doesn't get out. So he's ready to kill himself because he's sure they've run. And Paul said, do thyself no harm, we're all here. And he's like, what? So he goes in there where they are, and you know what he says? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Divine opportunity. And here's what they said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What are the next three words? And thy house. And thy house. Listen, they have to make the decision individually, just like you have to make the decision. But if you don't get past your fear to go where God wants you to go, that could affect your family. And if you don't make the decision to receive Jesus Christ, that can have an effect on your family. By faith, the harlot Rahab saved her family members' lives. But that's not all. By faith, the harlot Rahab obeyed the spies' commands. Look at verse 14. And the men answered her, "Our life for yours." What are they saying? You spared our lives, we'll spare yours. That is, if you don't tell anybody our business. If you utter not this our business. Had to clarify that with a harlot, you know. Right? Gossip in town, so mum's the word. "And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward they may go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren, all thy father's household, home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him." Now, they don't know at this time how they're going to make the attack on the city. They don't know about the walls going to fall down and all that. They don't know that. All they just say is, if you bring family members with you to this house, they got to stay in this house. If they come out, they're going to die. And that's not on us, that's on you. Or on them. Verse 20, "If thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us swear." And she said, "According unto your words, so be it." I love the Bible. People say, it's just so hard to understand. It doesn't even talk like we do. Have you ever said to somebody, "So be it"? It's how the Bible talks, just like we do. "And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window." Listen, by faith, the harlot Rahab obeyed the spies' commands. She doesn't know what they're going to do. They don't know what Joshua is going to command them to do. But this is the deal. Put this scarlet thread in the window, and you guys stay indoors, and we'll come get you. Now, what you're seeing there in the picture is this. Have you ever seen a city that has a town wall on it? Have you ever been to a place like that in Europe where you see the town wall? Town wall is not necessarily something that's so very high. When you see her letting them down by a cord, you get the idea that, you know, it could be way, way up there. But what it is, it's just high enough. Her window out of that wall is high enough so if those guys jump down, they risk hurting themselves or breaking a leg. But not necessarily so high that they can't communicate. So she lets them out and she goes, "Oh, now here's the deal." I mean, she's on the wall and it's late enough now for people to be asleep. It says that she's doing all this right before they laid down. So a lot of people are asleep in town now. So she leans out the window. She says, "Now look, go to the mountain, stay there 3 days." In other words, she knows when those pursuers are out there, she knows a lot. Well, they're out there looking for these guys. She knows where they're going to be looking. By the fords and the places that would be convenient to cross and this and that. They won't be looking up in that mountain. That mountain would be the wrong direction for them to go. Go up in that mountain. You stay there 3 days. Those guys will give up looking for you. When they give up looking for you, get down the mountain, go where you came, and I'll see you later. They said, "Good, bind this scarlet thread in the window by which you let us down and make sure everybody stays indoors." Where do you think they got the idea to do that? Where do you think they got the idea to do that? They got that from the Passover. You remember when they escaped from Egypt? What did they have to do? They had to take the blood of a lamb and they had to put it on the doorpost and on the lintel above the door. Something red, a scarlet thread is red. Put that blood outside of there and then it says, "And you stay indoors." If you go outdoors and that death angel comes through there, you're going to die. Stay indoors. And they're like, "Okay, stay indoors and put this red thread on there." You know what they're doing? They're just following what they'd seen done before. You know what I read in my New Testament? Jesus Christ is the door. And you know what He did for us? He shed His blood to save our souls. Listen, get in the door. I love it. One time somebody was having an argument with another person that was at the Catholic Church. I say these things because I grew up Catholic and I sort of can take that license, you know. And they were having an argument about, you know, the Bible and their religions and about faith in Jesus Christ. And finally the Catholic guy said, "Yeah, but my church has the keys." And the other guy said, "What do I need with the keys? My church has the door." Listen, when you've come through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and you are in Him, you are secure for eternity. Oh, that's a good thing. By faith, the harlot Rahab obeyed the spies' commands. She followed their instructions to the T. And by faith, we follow. Listen, when you follow the instructions that God gives you in the Bible, and you follow those by faith and obedience, everything works out. You know what the Bible tells us about Rahab in James chapter 2? She was justified. That's what it says. In James chapter 2 verse 25, it says she was justified by what she did here, by what she believed. She was justified. You say, what does that mean? I want to tell you that because I want you to understand this thing that's going on here is very much a picture of what happens in our New Testament salvation. When you get saved, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what the Lord basically does, you don't see this, but this is how God is viewing it from heaven. He calls you into His courtroom at that moment and sets you down as the defendant to bring the charges of your record against you. But since all of your sins have been placed on Jesus Christ and you now have His righteousness, at your trial, God declares you, listen, not guilty. Rahab was a harlot. And that kind of stuff that she was doing, prostituting her body, is absolutely an abomination to God. But when she obeyed those instructions and her faith was in the Lord, God said, "We're even. You're justified. Don't hold any of that against you." I'm telling you, that's a beautiful thing. I don't know what kind of past you have. I don't know what kind of life you have lived. Maybe something similar to what Rahab was in. Maybe not. Maybe a little better. Maybe a little worse. It doesn't make any difference. When by faith you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and obey the instructions of His book, you are justified. That stuff is gone. It's even Stephen. We're fine. No problem. Boy, if you'd had lived the life that she had lived over all those years, wouldn't you like to be able to wake up one morning and say, "Phew, wow, that's all gone." And it was, she was justified. She obeyed the spies' commands. But that's not all. By faith, the harlot Rahab trusted the words of the oath. So you read the chapter with me, and you know what's going on, right? You know they made the deal. All right, so the spies leave. They tell Joshua, "Hey, everything's worked out. All right, well, we need to go ahead. We need to see what happened on the day that the big battle came and the day of her rescue." So go to Joshua chapter 6. And I won't read the story for you, but I'll just tell you what basically happens. Joshua tells the Jews, "Here's what we're going to do. Get the priest, get some horns, get the ark, get the rearward. We're going to march around that city. Nobody say a word." So they go around the city once and they go home. And they're going to do this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they're going to march around the walls of that city 7 times. And on the seventh time around, they all shout. And as soon as they give a shout, the walls come tumbling down. And then all those Jews go in and attack every living soul that's in there. They kill them all. That's what happens. That's the plan, the battle plan. Now you got to know that those spies who made that deal with Rahab got to be wondering something. We told her to stay in the house. And you just told us that the walls are coming down. All of them. And her house is on the wall. Dear Lord, we set our life for yours. We don't know how you're going to do it, but you need to spare her or we're... So one day they go around that and all those people in Jericho, they've shut it up. Nobody's going out. Nobody's coming in. They've got it walled off. They're not really expecting in Jericho to fight. They're just prepared for a siege. They've walled them out. And the Jews aren't saying a word. They just walk around there quietly. Next day, quiet. Same time next day, quiet. Do this for 6 days, 7 days, they go around quiet. Again and again. Now you got to know, Rahab is in that window. I wonder what's going to happen next. That seventh time they come around there and they scream and the walls start falling. Have you ever been in an earthquake? Where things are falling off of bookshelves and pantries are opening and dishes are crashing on the floor out of cupboard. You ever been anything like that? I don't think you just sit there and watch. Wow. I mean, your next door neighbor's house has just fallen. Your next door neighbor's house has fallen. All of the walls are falling. The instinct of any natural person is to hightail it. He said, if you leave that door, you die. And they have to stay in there. And trust that oath that all this stuff is falling down and we don't run. Verse 17, Joshua chapter 6. The city shall be accursed, even it, Joshua is telling them. All that are therein to the Lord, only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Jump ahead to verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. We're not talking just crumbling. Flat! So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox, sheep, ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel, and they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver, and the gold, and the vessels of brass and iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And she trusted. I can't imagine staying in that house when all that stuff is coming down. But she did exactly what those men told her to do. She didn't run. She didn't fall. You know, I'm thinking of Peter when I'm thinking of this. He got out of that boat and saw a little stormy water. He's like, ah! And down he went. She didn't move. She absolutely trusted that what those men said would come to pass because they had given their word for the sake of the Lord. And so, by faith, the harlot Rahab trusted the words of the oath, saved her household. But may I tell you something? That's not the end of the story. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. You learned in Joshua chapter 6 that she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, but it doesn't tell you what happened to her, to Rahab the harlot. But I'll tell you what happened to her. In Matthew chapter 1, you're reading the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, verse 1, the son of Abraham. This is Jesus Christ's genealogy. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, Judas, Phares, Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Ezram, Ezram, Aram, Aram, Amminadab, Amminadab, nation. People say, I can't stand the begets and begots. Well, just keep reading. And nation begat Salmon. I might have some of that for lunch today. And nation begat Salmon, verse 5, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. Rahab became King David's great-great-grandmother. And David the king became the best king that Israel ever had. And Jesus Christ is born of the line of David. By faith, the harlot Rahab reaped an eternal reward. That's the most shocking outcome of this story that you could ever imagine. God said, not only will I save her and her household for that, I believe I'm just going to bring her into the family and let my son come from her offspring. Wow. David, a man after mine own heart, came to us through his great-great-grandmother, Rahab. By faith, the harlot Rahab reaped an eternal reward. I want to say to you today, listen, if you will just venture into your relationship with the Lord, the same faith that Rahab had, you have absolutely no idea what God can do with you, despite your past. Makes no difference to God. What makes a difference to God is what you're willing to do by faith for Him today. Don't be afraid to venture where God wants you to go. Don't be afraid to talk to your family members about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to follow what He says in the Scripture. Don't be afraid to trust His oath. He'll make good on His word. And you can count on that. With the assurance that, listen, your life will be better with Him than it ever could have been without Him. That's a guarantee. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful today for the opportunity to learn something so miraculously and so special from Rahab's life. Father, I'm asking You please to help us today. Some of us need encouragement in our faith desperately right now. Some of us, like Rahab, need to recognize today is a divine opportunity, and on this particular day, somebody has come along and presented an opportunity for them to get saved. Now, I want to ask you a couple questions. First of all, I want to ask you this. How many of you here right now, listen, you've already put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you're saved. You know it. Just raise your hand, put it right back down. Amen. Amen. Pay attention to what you heard today, those of you who just raised your hand, and realize that Rahab's faith should be a definite encouragement to you that you can trust God all the way, all the way. Now perhaps when I ask that question, you couldn't raise your hand. I know why you couldn't raise your hand. It's not that you didn't understand my question. You couldn't raise your hand because you've not trusted Jesus Christ yet. And may I tell you something? You have been given a divine opportunity today to change the direction of your life and the destination of your life and the outcome of your life. You don't have to die in your sins. You can die in Christ's righteousness and you can live in eternal life. If you'll just believe in Him, if you'll just trust Him, if you'll put your faith in Him. Now, when we offer an invitation for you to do that here, we always have our associate pastor standing in the back when I ask the next question for this simple reason. We want to make sure you fully understand what it is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't usually just ask you to do that in your seat. I ask you to join him so he can show you from the scripture to be sure that when you receive him, you're saved. Is there anybody here today that would raise your hand right now and said, "Preacher, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you. I am going to put my faith in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do that today. I'm not going to let Rahab be the only one that gets the glory of this story today. I'm getting in while the getting is good." Anybody here today, raise your hand right now and say, Preacher, I want to talk to the associate pastor. I want to believe Jesus Christ today." If you do, just raise your hand right now, right now. Okay. Father, may your Holy Spirit work with great power today, strengthening the faith of those who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ already, reproving those who haven't, that they may remember these words, "By faith, the harlot Rahab," and know they can put their faith in you and be saved. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.